Good morning, church.
Buenos días, iglesia. Do you know where to find wisdom? I'll try to keep this sermon a little shorter because we have plenty to do today. I'll try. Do we know where to find wisdom? The book of Job is a philosophical book that deeply examines the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? Because in the book of Job, the most horrible things one can imagine do happen to one of the best men that one could imagine, to a man named Job in the book of Job. And in the midst of answering this question, we see some amazing expressions of faith. Because if you had to answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people, or even why do bad things happen at all, if God is in control? One answer is this. When bad things happen on the earth, there we see God and his people shine like never before. It just so happens that God is here for bad things. The worst of all, sin and death. And God is here for those things. So when you see sin and the results of sin and death happen around us, when God interferes, intervenes, he solves it in a way which is amazingly and powerful. And we don't see that happening without bad things. So despite Job losing all that he loves, and enduring serious physical pain as well in the process, he's able to express the amazing Job 28 that I want to read and break down together this morning. And I'll read from the NLT, which is my favorite version to read the Old Testament in, at least. Job 28, and see how, despite his pain and loss, what he is able to say about God. And I believe he cannot have said these things without going through what he's going through. He says, people know where to mine silver and how to refine gold. They know where to dig iron from the earth and how to smelt copper from rock. They know how to shine light in the darkness and explore the farthest regions of the earth as they search in the dark for ore. They sink a mine shaft into the earth far from where anyone lives. They descend on ropes swinging back and forth. Food is grown on the earth above, but down below, the earth is melted as by fire. Here the rocks contain precious lapis lazuli, and the dust contains gold. There are treasures no bird of prey can see, no falcon's eye observe. And I pray as you read this, you're imagining all these things, because this is the purpose of this writing. It's an imaginative writing, descriptive writing. No wild animal has walked upon these treasures. No lion has ever set his paw there. People know how to tear apart flinty rocks and overturn the roots of mountains. They cut tunnels in the rocks and uncover precious stones. They dam up the trickling streams and bring to light the hidden treasures. But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? No one knows where to find it, for it is not found among the living. It is not here, says the ocean, nor is it here, says the sea. It cannot be bought with gold. It cannot be purchased with silver. It's worth more than all the gold of Ophir, greater than the precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Wisdom is more valuable than gold and crystal. It cannot be purchased with jewels mounted in fine gold. Coral and jasper are worthless in trying to get it. The price of wisdom is far above rubies. Precious peridot from Ethiopia cannot be exchanged for it. It is worth more than the purest gold. But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all humanity. Even the sharp-eyed birds in the sky cannot discover it. And I love this. Destruction and death say, we've only heard rumors of where wisdom can be found. Verse 23, the premise of this sermon, God alone understands the way to wisdom. He knows where it can be found, for he looks throughout the whole earth and sees everything under the heavens. He decides how hard the wind should blow and how much rain should fall. He made the laws for the rain and laid out a path for the lightning. Last Sunday night, we discussed just how in control is God. Is he fully in control? Does he set a law and let things happen, perhaps? Just how in control is God? When you read the book of Job, you get the impression he's in control of everything. So much so that he even directs how much rain should fall to the very last drop. The exact path of lightning is not by chance in the book of Job. So consider that when we discuss, to figure out how much in control is God. Then he saw wisdom and evaluated it. He set it in a high place and examined it thoroughly. And this is what he says to all humanity. And this is what the entire church should know today. If you get nothing else out of this sermon, please know this. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. And to forsake evil is real understanding. I like verse 22 very, very much. Because death and destruction have been around for a long time. They've been around for a long time, from the very beginning. And yet, they are no help in finding what true wisdom is. Indeed, Proverbs 14:12 says this, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but leads only to death." This is a sobering reminder that even when something feels right, looks right, it might even appear logical to us, it may lead to death. So if we say, "I do this because it works for me," it can lead to death. If we say, "This is just how I do things," it can lead to death. If we say, "This is my sign, this is how I am," it can lead to death. If we say, "This makes me happy, that's why I do it," please be careful, because it can lead to death. So where can we find wisdom? Is there anything older than death and destruction? Verse 23, God alone. God alone. If you want to know if a path is wise or not, then the question to ask yourself is, would God be happy about this? If I'm walking this pathway, will God be happy? Will I have less time for God or more time for God? Will I have any time for God if I follow this pathway? Would God be happy about this? It's a very great way to examine our lives. Because as Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man. There is a way that seems financially right to a man. There is a way that seems romantically right to a man. But if God is not happy, then I guarantee you that it is not a wise path to take. God alone. Let's talk about the exclusivity or exclusiveness, exclusivity of God. And that word means, let's talk about God being all by himself. He's exclusive. When the Bible says God alone, I'm not talking about the God of the expression. When God says God alone, him by himself, I'm not talking about the God of the expression, "Oh my God." I think people say, "Oh my God," but I don't believe when they say, "Oh my God," they're thinking about the God of the Bible per se. It's just an expression. A lot of people say, "Oh my God," and they're not always talking about the God that Job is talking about here in the book of Job. I'm not talking about the universe either. You may have heard people these days say, "Well, the universe says this or that," or "I hope the universe says this or that about me," or whatever the universe wants. No, I'm not talking about the universe either. I'm not talking about the God called evolution. You may be thinking, well, evolution has never claimed to be a God. But I would ask you to look at how people refer to evolution these days and in modern science books and in modern discussions of nature. Bear with me. I was watching an animal video on YouTube. That's one of my hobbies, guys. I watch I watch animal shows on YouTube. I love wildlife on YouTube. As I always say, I don't ever want to see it in real life. But I do like to see it on the TV screen or behind some plastic of a screen. And in this video, there's a wild pack of dogs completely outwitting a whole group of buffalo. It was just amazing to see how the dogs were so much more intelligent than the buffalo. Several levels more intelligent. I mean, you can just see these dogs just had the entire system planned out in their minds. And my thought was, wow, look how God ordered nature. The herbivores are not as smart as the carnivores. Well, here's why. The carnivores must eat the herbivores. If the herbivores are super smart, the carnivores cannot survive. And so I'm seeing, you see quite clearly how God structured nature, that the circle of life, if you will, that God planned out. And I sit back and I say, wow, God, this is hard to watch at times, but you're amazing. It's all planned out by you. But as I scrolled down and saw the YouTube comments, which is never the best thing to do, I scrolled down, however, and I read a few things, and it reminded me of what I read in science books and such, and people are still talking about this way today. Someone else said, and I quote, "I guess evolution had decided a long time ago that eating grass would not be in favor of increasing intelligence." Okay. Scroll down a bit further, and it said, "Evolution hasn't favored the herbivores." And as you read modern science books and you hear how it's discussed, evolution has become personified. So that if you ignore God, no one quite understands why herbivores aren't very smart. So they say, well, it's a will of evolution. As if evolution itself is sentient. As if evolution itself has a mind of its own. All to take away the glory of God, who actually himself planned these things out. Romans 1:21 in action. The book of Romans is amazing. They already said this is going to happen one day. That there will come a time in the future in which people will look at nature and not give glory to God anymore, but will give glory to other things, maybe even the animals themselves. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, I present to you what's happening today. Talking about people who don't want to follow God, it says, yes, they knew God, they knew who he was, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds become darkened and confused. Claiming to be wise, they then become fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped the idols, made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So we're seeing it today in a scientific way. People are taking away saying, God did this, God is smart, God is hiding this, and saying, chance and random things did these things. So no, I'm not just talking about the God of evolution in the book of Job. That's not who I'm referring to. I'm not talking about Mother Nature, who is also somebody people mention these days, or Father Time. I'm not talking about Buddha, or Muhammad, or Shiva, or Set, or Zeus, or Odin, or Thor. I'm talking about none of these people as the God mentioned in the book of Job. And since none of the aforementioned ideas are God, I believe that from them cannot be a path of wisdom. None of the above. Because he says, only from God is there wisdom. Oh, there is certainly some wisdom in these other quote-unquote God competitors, I would say. For example, I have to say, in Buddhism, a major tenet is a law of balance in all things. And that is very intelligent. That is very wise. But I also find it already in the Word of God. So there are wise things in other ways of thought, but they don't have the pathway of wisdom, a pathway that will lead to our eternal life, which is only found in God. So let's be specific about the God we're talking about in the book of Job. Let's clarify for everybody here knows exactly where wisdom can be found and who Job is talking about. Let's be specific because the Bible is specific. I've already mentioned who this God cannot be. Then who is the God that Job is mentioning? Well, Job is referring to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, specifically. The God who would take a shepherd boy named David, a little ruddy boy out in the fields, and make him into the greatest king that Israel has ever known. The God who inspired Moses to write the Pentateuch, which is the first five books in the Bible. The God who told a prophet named Isaiah that a man named Emmanuel, God with us, would one day come. This specific God is not an abstract idea that one can find or make up in their own minds. It is not someone that we can make up and say, well, this is the God I want to follow. This is who I'm going to follow. One that fits my situation. No, that's not who the God is. This God is discovered through the Word of God. Indeed, it is this God who alone holds the path of wisdom. This God who sent his only Son to earth. A Son who has the specific name, Jesus. Jesus Christ. We know exactly who this is. Jesus, a specific man who is proven to have lived in recorded history and grew up in Israel. This is a man who even people who don't believe in Jesus the Christ know a man named Jesus existed. And this Jesus specifically said, John 14, 1 through 6. John 14, 1 through 6. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, Jesus says, and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. And this is the path of wisdom, the direction. And Thomas, no, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how could we know the way? Good old Thomas, always bringing the doubts. But verse 6 is one of the prettiest verses in the whole Bible. One of the most memorable. Most of us know it by heart. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, he says. The truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. The God who can save our lives is not hard to find. It is not a blurry concept. It is not a matter of opinion. It is not a product of our imagination. It is not whoever we want him to be. He exists. Notice how Hollywood is very specific and graphic about evil things, but very blurry about good things. Let's be specific about good things here. Jesus Christ is our salvation. He exists, and he will not change for us. We are called to change for him if we hope to live forever and ever. I want to clarify that it is through God alone that we can have wisdom. Today we are living in a wonderful time because God has allowed us to understand him so much more through Jesus Christ. I kind of feel sorry for people. As I study Job, I kind of feel bad for them. They didn't know about Jesus. They had a very old-fashioned version of an understanding of God. I believe Job may have lived around Abraham's time. So it was early on in their understanding in God's revelation. And I wish they had known Jesus in those days. But we do know Jesus. We know who he is, and we know that he came to earth as a man so that we can properly better understand how it is to be a person, a man of God, a woman of God, a man who went through everything we've gone through and overcame those things. God himself in man, more tangible, able to understand truly our weaknesses. Jesus Christ, who also said, Mark 16:16. He said this, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. And I believe that. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And I believe this is true. Do you know where to find wisdom? Job 28:28, again, is that wonderful answer. Job 28:28. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. Let all humanity know. Please respect and fear God. And not just any God. The specific one referred to in the book of Job. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The one who blessed David. The one who sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. This one God. Where God himself said in Isaiah 45 verse 5, there are no other gods, he said. I don't know of any other, he said in Isaiah 45 verse 5. Forsake evil. Love God enough that evil isn't even a desire. Drop it like a bad habit. Literally. Abandon evil and throw it out like garbage. And find true wisdom in him. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.